Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, Senior Analyst at the Wall Street Analyzer. Joining us today is Peter Huang, the CEO and President for Tapimmune Incorporated. The company trades on NASDAQ, ticker symbol TPIV. Thanks for joining us today there, Peter.
Good morning, Juan. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Certainly. So starting off, please give us a history overview of the company.
Sure. So as you know, I'm Peter Huang, and I'm President and CEO of Tapimmune. So Tapimmune is a clinical stage company with three separate therapies, currently in clinical trials, and a preclinical platform technology that's designed to increase antigen presentation. So a very, very nice technology that can be used to enhance not only our platform technologies, but potentially any cancer immunotherapy. So our product candidates have received orphan drug designation for ovarian cancer, as well as FDA fast track status for platinum-sensitive ovarian cancer. Our clinical trials are funded in part by an aggregate of $17 million from two separate non-dilutive grants from the U.S. Department of Defense. And we're currently advancing six clinical trials, including four separate phase one clinical trials that are today enrolling patients at leading medical centers, including the Mayo Clinic, Memorial Sloan Kettering, the Moffitt, Sarah Cannon, UAB, Maryland Medical Center, among others. So we're pretty excited about the opportunity that we have with the company.
Certainly, and bring us up to speed there on some of your recent news, including most recent clinical update.
Absolutely. So I think that we've had a pretty active fourth quarter to date, and we expect to have a likewise active fourth quarter going forward into the new year. So as you may have seen, 2 weeks ago, we announced that we had completed enrollment on our first phase two study. And that is a dosing study in triple negative breast cancer that was targeted towards 80 patients. We actually enrolled about 10% above that number because, as you know, patients oftentimes come off trial, and we wanted to make sure that we had a full 80-patient data set with that trial. That clinical trial is a very, very nice complement to our 280-patient efficacy trial, which is set to start later this quarter. So as we told our investor base in our third quarter earnings call, the Mayo Clinic is currently enrolling patients for that large efficacy study. So this will be a study that is placebo controlled and blinded, and will give us a readout as to whether or not we've got single agent efficacy in our TPIV-200 vaccine in triple-negative breast cancer. I think that's a pretty exciting study. So, with the closing of enrollment there, one of the really nice features about it is that we were able to really drive patient enrollment over the course of the last few quarters close the enrollment of that trial almost 2 months ahead of schedule. So as your listeners may know, enrollment for clinical trials like ours, I think that you're doing pretty well if you are enrolling 0.3 patients per month per site at these clinical trials. Through most of last year and into the first two quarters of this year, we were enrolling closer to 0.2 patients per trial site per month. By focusing on the blocking and tackling, really the outreach of making sure that we had motivated investigative partners and clinical sites, we were able to drive that rate to almost 0.8 patients per site per month over the course of Q3 and Q4. So I think that we've got very, very motivated clinical partners, and I think that we're very, very pleased with the improvement in the clinical execution that we've been able to drive there. Additionally, coming up later in the quarter, I think that we should be able to announce the filing of the amended IND for our phase one in our TPIV-110 product, as well as to be able to talk about further developments in terms of the IP prosecution with respect to our preclinical platform, PolyStart. Most importantly, I think that we're on the cusp of being able to announce the phase one trial results, pending publication of a paper that was authored by our clinical investigators at the Mayo Clinic that will allow us to discuss in detail the survival data that we've seen in patients in our phase one trial with TPIV-200, which I think has some real implications on what the potential outcomes of our phase two trial in ovarian cancer are. As you know, we are currently enrolling patients in a phase two efficacy study in first remission in ovarian cancer. That'll be a 120-patient study that we are currently enrolling patients on. That is a study that will clearly drive patients' results to statistical significance. And like the triple negative breast cancer trial, the 280-patient study, if we can show single agent efficacy versus a placebo in that trial, I think that we have a real pathway to registration and approval of the product.
Great. So what are some of the key trends that you're seeing right now in the sector, and how has the company positioned itself to capitalize?
You know, I think that that's actually one of the really interesting things that brought me to this company. You know, as you know, many cancer vaccine approaches have struggled in the past, and one of the things that we do differently is that we take an approach that's based on focusing on CD4 or helper cells. This approach actually squarely aligns with the learnings of the last 5 years, where the field learned that CD8 T-cells, that is killer T-cells, seem to struggle when they act alone with tumors. And every cancer vaccine approach that has been tried, or, you know, basically all of the cancer vaccine approaches that have been tried, have really focused primarily on CD8 or killer T-cells. Well, there's an increasing body of literature that supports the idea that without contribution from CD4 cells, the CD8 alone lack the ability to persist and expand and thus outcompete a tumor, particularly cold tumors or aggressive ones. Moreover, what we know now is that CD4 T cells are required to generate memory for long-lasting immunity in patients. And because we take a class 2 approach, unlike most cancer vaccines, we're able to treat almost the entire addressable patient population with a single vaccine formulation by selecting DR-restricted peptides. So we're effectively able to create a truly off-the-shelf therapy. One of the things that I talked about at the Piper Jaffray conference 2 days ago was an example of the power of a class 2 approach. So if you take a B16 melanoma model, so, you know, take a C57 BLAC6 mouse and put in that B16 melanoma model, if you use 10 million class 1, that is CD8 killer T cells, the, in this case, high affinity T cells specific for PMEL, you do nothing. The T cells don't persist. The tumor grows and the mouse dies. But interestingly enough, you use much fewer T cells. So in this case, 100,000 versus 10 million class 2 or CD4 helper T cells. In this case, specific for an antigen that we call TRP1 that has a similar expression level in the tumor. And guess what? The tumor melts away and the mice live. And, you know, that's what I think taking a class 2 approach may help us do, is take a much, much more effective approach towards vaccination. You know, many of the learnings that we're seeing in immuno-oncology point themselves towards the fact that what you really need is to get engagement from the patient's own normal T cells, the natural T cells, what we call endogenous T cells. Because, you know, when we look at the two primary approaches in immunotherapy today, checkpoints, what we've learned is that checkpoints work really well in terms of being able to drive, you know, curative responses in some patients. But, you know, that number generally hovers around 20-40% in the indications where checkpoints work. And what we're finding more importantly is that the checkpoints primarily work in tumors that have high rates of mutation, what we call hot tumors. But you move to a cold tumor where you don't have high rates of mutation, and what you find is that while these checkpoint inhibitors metaphorically remove the brakes from the immune system, allowing the immune system to function as it normally does, when you don't have enough mutation in the tumor, the T cells, the natural T cells, still don't see enough tumor to take action and effectively drive a therapeutic response from the patient. Likewise, with cell therapies, what we find is that in blood tumors, where the tumor is everywhere, cell therapies work pretty well. But in solid tumors, what you find is that that the T cells struggle much more. So there's only one cell therapy, that's NY-ESO-1-based TCRs, that have ever shown efficacy in a solid tumor. And there, interestingly enough, what we're finding is that, you know, not surprisingly, because NY-ESO-1 is only on about 20 to 25% of tumors, that the real therapeutic response is being driven by the fact that, you know, the NY-ESO-1 T cells start a fire. That is, you know, they start inflammation, they kill some tumor cells, you know, the 20% of the tumor cells that they can see. But really, where the therapeutic effect is being driven is that effectively that inflammation, that necrosis of cancer cells is driving natural T cells to participate in the response. And it's the response of the natural immune system, these endogenous T cells, that's really being able to drive a response by killing the remainder of the tumor. So all of this points to the fact that what you really need to do is to be able to drive a response by the endogenous T cells. And that's what our technologies do. Vaccination for folate receptor alpha or HER2-NU or any peptide payload that we care to deliver with our PolyStart program drives antigen presentation. So tumors that were initially invisible to your body's T cells, that is, when you take the brakes off with a checkpoint inhibitor or when you start a fire by being able to kill some tumor cells with a cell therapy like CAR-Ts or TCRs, now what you need is you need to have your endogenous T cells join the fight and take part if you really want to drive, you know, consistent response rates or responses in patients that are durable and not subject to near-term relapse. So that's what our technologies do. They drive the ability of innate T cells, endogenous T cells, to be able to respond to these tumors.
Great, and you know, you'd mentioned you know, joining the company, being intrigued by the you know, technology, for, and you know, having taken over the CEO role about 5 months ago. Can you talk about your background and experience, Peter, and you know, who some of the key management team there is?
No, absolutely. So I actually only took over about 2 months ago. So I came on board at the end of September. You know, prior to coming to Tapimmune, I spent the last 5 years primarily focused on the cell therapy side, so the CAR-T and TCR world. You know, I come most recently from Belafon Pharmaceuticals, which is a CAR-T TCR company that focuses on trying to create controllable T cells. I ran business development, corporate development, and corporate strategy for the company, so basically focusing on all business operations outside of the balance sheet. You know, before that, I had been at MD Anderson, where I led the creation of all new ventures and new companies for the institution. You know, and the hallmark transaction that you know, we like to look back on in the experience at MD Anderson was also a CAR-T transaction, where we commercialized Professor Lawrence Cooper's CAR-T cell technology based on using a transposon-transposase approach called Sleeping Beauty, with a couple of companies that were named Zyfarm and Intrexon. So that was the largest private institution to public company upfront deal of all time, and I think was a very, very successful transaction for those two companies, delivering about $2 billion of incremental market cap coming out of the announcement of that transaction. Before MD Anderson, I'd been an investment banker for 16 years, so one of the skill sets that I'm hoping to bring to the role here at Tapimmune is a thorough knowledge of the capital markets and a real focus on being able to drive immediate accretive shareholder value through strategic transactions.
Certainly, and so as far as investors in the financial community, Peter, what are some of the key drivers there that you want them to better understand about TPIV?
Sure. Well, you know, I think that one of the things that should interest investors is the same thing that caught my attention when the opportunity at Tapimmune first came up, which is that, you know, in my mind, there is a really compelling shareholder value proposition here. You know, the company today is traded at $30 million, which is really surprising and almost mind-blowing, given the fact that, you know, when you look at this company, you have to recognize that this is a clinical stage company with 6 active clinical trials. At some of the premier cancer treatment institutions on the planet, you know, like I said, the Mayo Clinic, Memorial Sloan Kettering, Moffitt, Sarah Cannon, UAB, Maryland Medical Center, and the list goes on and on. You know, we are running multi-center trials at upwards of 20 centers for many of our phase 2 trials, with products that have, you know, in my mind, a real pathway to approval as single-agent therapies. Moreover, we have on top of that a preclinical platform that may be transformative in terms of its ability to enhance the effect of any immunotherapy, you know, using it either as a prime boost for our own vaccine approaches or potentially as enhancement approaches in conjunction with other companies' checkpoint inhibitors or their cell therapies. You know, on top of that, what I'd point out is that, you know, look, this is, our technologies are fundamentally differentiated from every cancer vaccine approach that has been tried in the past, and I do believe that technology will be validated, not only from a scientifically sound perspective, which we know today, but, you know, from the point of view of actual patient results in clinical trials. Remember that this is technology that was generated out of some of the best research at the Mayo Clinic and vetted and funded twice by the U.S. Department of Defense. So I think that, you know, from a value standpoint, there is a pretty compelling value opportunity here at Tapimmune.
So any other goals and milestones here over the course of the next 6 to 12 months that perhaps you didn't cover?
No, absolutely. So, as you know, we're very focused on these near-term milestones. So, you know, in the next few weeks, we expect to be able to announce the dosing of our first patient in that 280-patient efficacy trial. That trial, by the way, is fully funded by the U.S. Department of Defense, and so it will require no additional capital resourcing from the company because it's fully funded by the U.S. Department of Defense. In addition, like I said, I think that we should be in a position imminently to announce the detailed results of our phase 1 trial. So as we said in the Q3 conference call, that manuscript was submitted to one of the leading clinical oncology journals in the industry. We have received reviewer commentary. You know, I've seen the comments. I think that they are reasonable, straightforward, and addressable. Our investigators at the Mayo, who are the authors of that manuscript, are reflecting the changes that the reviewers have requested. And at this point, you know, we're in the hands of editorial review. So I can't predict the exact date of release, but I do believe that the release of that data and publication of the paper will be imminent. And I do think that that will have very, very interesting implications for our phase 2 trials. In addition to the milestones that I talked about the filing of the amended IND and the additional patent protection on Polystart. By the way, the Polystart technology now has an allowance from the U.S. Patent Office that allows us to protect using that technology with any peptide payload, which allows us, you know, extremely broad use of the technology. But in the coming year, we're looking forward to having some fairly important milestones as well. As you may know, we expect in the new year that the Mayo Clinic will be dosing the first patient and initiating the phase 1-2 trial using the TPIV-100 vaccine, that is the one that is targeted to HER2-new, in a study in ductal carcinoma in situ, and that's DCIS. DCIS is a particularly interesting indication for us because, as many of your listeners will know, DCIS is in many ways a precursor to other forms of breast cancer. And so this trial may well be informative about the use of a cancer vaccine on a prophylactic basis, which, as you know, much more resembles the use of vaccines in an infectious disease setting. In addition, I think that next year we'll be in a position to look at the interim results from the triple negative breast cancer dosing study that we've just closed enrollment on. So I think that we've got an active year ahead of us in terms of milestones and announcements.
Certainly. So once again, joining us today is Peter Huang, the CEO and president for TAP Immune Incorporated. The company trades on NASDAQ, ticker symbol TPIV, currently trading at $277 a share, and market cap is close to $30 million. And before we conclude here, Peter, to briefly recap some of your key points, why do you believe investors should consider the company as a good investment opportunity today?
Well, like I said, I think that there's a pretty compelling value proposition here. You know, with the number of clinical trials we have, particularly the number of advanced stage clinical trials in phase two, that have the ability to result in multiple approved products in multiple indications, as well as a potentially transformative preclinical platform technology that can be partnered with virtually anybody in the immunotherapy space, with technology that, you know, has been originated out of one of the premier cancer research institutions in the country, and then vetted and funded twice by the U.S. Department of Defense. I think that there is a substantial value appreciation opportunity here in the stocks if we if we're able to execute on all the things that we hope to be able to.
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on your upcoming progress. And we'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today, Peter, and update our investor audience on TAP Immune. It's always great having you guys on.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.